Admit it.
Touch her.
It turns you on.
And Rich.
Every mother's dream.
Touch her and Rich.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and each week at this time, we check in with Boomer Esiason from CBS Sports and the NFL on CBS. Boomer Esiason, hello, sir. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Yes, good morning. Happy Martin Luther King Day. I know some of us have to work today, but it's important stuff we're talking about. We're talking about the upcoming championship games, and what a weekend, what a day yesterday in terms of the NFL playoffs, and just what a ridiculous way to win a football game for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, that, I don't know if I've seen anything quite like that before, especially in a game of that magnitude. But let's start off with the Steelers-Jacksonville game. Tomlin, Haley, I mean, they're talking about getting rid of both the offensive and defensive coordinators in that game. If you, how many mistakes did Pittsburgh make, in your opinion, during that last few minutes of that game?
Well, I mean, you know, this has been the problem there. I would probably say over the last quarter of that game, they probably made about six or seven different mistakes. And there are little mistakes here and there that end up, if you lose, you look back on them, you say, if I would have made a decision this way or handled the clock that way or did not kick the onside kick and kicked it off, you could probably say that they gave the game away. And the interesting thing about all of this, I go back to last year when Ben Roethlisberger, towards the end of the year, said that we have to tighten things up around here. And this is exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about end-of-game decisions. You know, when to punt, when not to punt, when to go for it, when to kick an onside kick. Things of that nature that are pretty pedestrian when you think about it. You know, we're sitting in the studio yesterday. Pittsburgh's going to attempt this onside kick. And the onside kick, first of all, was just a horrendous kick by Boswell. But there's no reason to kick the onside kick right there because you basically have three stoppages at your fingertips. That would be the two-minute warning and the two timeouts that you have left. And when you have three stoppages and you're north of that two-minute warning, you kick off and you play defense. And you know that Jacksonville is going to try to run the ball for you to use those two timeouts. So totally mishandled there towards the end of the game. You know, I don't know why you'd get rid of Todd Haley. I know that he's a controversial figure and everything else. They did score 42 points yesterday. You know, and one of the reasons that the Jaguars ended up winning the game was because of Telvin Smith's return for a touchdown. That really was the difference because that was the defensive touchdown that Jacksonville needed. But I think it was the whole obsession with the New England Patriots, and it started on November 26th. That was a Sunday night. Mike Tomlin gave an interview with Tony Dungy. He was talking about playing the Patriots twice this year and kind of dismissive of the rest of the AFC. And I think Jacksonville really took that to heart this week.
All right, but Tomlin excused the onside kick, kind of throwing his defense under the bus, you know, saying that he made it quite clear he didn't think or have confidence that they could stop Jacksonville. That's not a good situation where you don't think you can take care of that Jacksonville offense and stop them.
Well, I understand what he's saying because he's living in the moment. But at the end of the day, their defense did stop them. And their defense forced them to kick a field goal, which ultimately was the margin of victory. So he could say whatever he wants after the game. It's a really embarrassing look for a head coach. It's an embarrassing look for the coaching staff. And again, you know, when you get to this level, you can say whatever you want. I mean, decisions are paramount, especially in tight games. And, you know, think about the other team for a second, Jacksonville. Who do they have running that football team now? That's Tom Coughlin. That's Doug Marrone. These are, you know, high IQ football guys, football men. They know what they're doing. They have been in big games. Tom Coughlin, obviously, as a coach, upset the Patriots twice. He's the one that built this football team. They've stuck with Blake Bortles. I mean, there's a lot to like about what Jacksonville did on Sunday in Pittsburgh. So while it is a lot of it goes and falls at the feet of Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff, the other side of it is that Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone have really, when you think about what they have done with the Jacksonville Jaguars since they have gotten there less than a year ago and gotten them to this point, is nothing short of amazing.
Last question about that game. Where do you rank Tomlin as a coach? Do you think he's a good coach? Do you think he should stick around?
You know, I do like Mike Tomlin as a coach. You know, he's a character. He's an NFL character. I think most people appreciate him. They love his press conferences and everything else. But unfortunately for him, you know, he has got a roster loaded with stars. But those stars sometimes kind of, you know, go their own way, whether it be Le'Veon Bell tweeting the night before the game that there were going to be back-to-backs in 2 weeks, meaning that they were going to beat the Jaguars yesterday, or, you know, the nonsense that goes on during the year, Antonio Brown screaming that he wants the ball back, Martavis Bryant not happy, Ben Roethlisberger thinking he's going to retire. So there's a lot of personalities there, and he's one of those personalities. So I think he comes back. I think he's a fine football coach. I think he's a good face of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But there has to be a, like I said, a tightening up of the, you know, of the personalities, and there has to be more discipline in order for them to want to, you know, get to the next level. And the next level for them would be a Super Bowl.
So, you know, not an exciting game Saturday night for the Patriots, nor did anyone expect it to be. This looks like it's going to be kind of the same situation on Sunday.
Well, I would say that you know, it's kind of interesting because the Tennessee Titans actually own the Jacksonville Jaguars. They beat them twice this year, and they beat them twice pretty significantly. And then Tennessee comes on the road, and you know, we all saw what New England did. This completely embarrassed them and took them right out of their game starting in the second quarter. So, yeah, on paper, you would say there's no chance. The same thing could be said about those New England New York Giant playoff games, in which, you know, the Giants under Tom Coughlin figured out a way to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. The thing that Jacksonville does have is they have a very active defensive line. In other words, they don't have to blitz to create pressure, and that really is the secret to beating Tom Brady and the Patriots. The problem is it is Blake Bortles on the other side, and I know everybody is lauding his performance from yesterday in Pittsburgh, but it was a average performance. That's how low the standards are set for him. As long as he doesn't throw an interception, they feel like they can run the ball on anybody. They know that they can play defense, although yesterday they were shredded defensively. So I would think the Patriots and you know, and Josh McDaniels are hard at work trying to figure out how to exploit that defense, especially in the secondary. I don't necessarily know that Tom will throw the ball over 50 times in this particular game, because believe it or not, the vulnerability is the ability to run against the Jacksonville Jaguars, because their defense is so aggressive trying to get sacks. So for me, I don't see how the Patriots lose the game simply because of the other team's quarterback. But nonetheless, it will be a physical game from the offense of the Patriots standpoint and the defense of the Jacksonville Jaguars standpoint.
Yeah, you were really critical of Bortles, and it was kind of funny because a couple games ago, because Tony Romo was trying his best to, you know, say the elements and the wind was blowing, and you kind of just were like, that's BS.
Well, it is kind of, but, you know, Tony has to meet with those guys every week, and, you know, you want information. You don't want to really totally embarrass anybody. I wasn't trying to embarrass anybody. I was just trying to call it like I see it.
Yeah, you have
to. And I know that Tony has struggled in terms of some of the negativity that he has to bring towards the game because of some of the poor quarterback play. I could hear it in terms of Marcus Mariota on Saturday night. You know, this AFC Championship one, he's going to have to sit there and he's going to have to talk about Blake Bortles again. And, you know, this is going to be a really difficult game for Blake. That's all there is to it. And again, like I said, the bar is set so low that, you know, it's unfortunate when you go into a game, you don't have those high expectations. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he will come out of his funk a little bit. He played a solid game against Pittsburgh, as I said. But a solid game against New England is not going to get them the win. He is going to have to play so much better than he has been playing the last 3 or 4 weeks. The key for him yesterday, anyway, was third down completions. And he got some really key completions, especially in the fourth quarter, against a Pittsburgh defense who, by the admission of Mike Tomlin, their own head coach, couldn't stop him. So that's not the New England defense. The New England defense is about as stout as they come in the NFL.
Has there been any internal discussions about that effing cricket, that noise that they play before they go back to live action? Have you noticed that?
I have not noticed it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, baby. Now, do you get the regular TV feed?
No, we get the internal feed. When we're watching a game, we get the internal feed. We do not get the feed that you know, has the commercials and everything in it.
Okay, but you hear the announcers?
We do during the game, yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so they play this cricket noise every time that it gets back to live action. And now no one has heard it but me, and then I point it out and I ruin people's experience with the game.
So you're saying that there is actually a cricket noise when they come back?
Yes, it goes like, cuckoo. Like when they go back into the action.
Say that again. Let me hear that.
He goes like, eek-hoo.
One more time.
Eek-hoo.
No, I don't know. I've never heard that. This is actually the first time I've ever heard it. And you know what? Listening to you do it is very annoying.
Oh, yeah. Well, so do you know what?
Do it again.
All all right, I'm not your little clown here. You get me dancing all around and trying to, you know, entertain here.
I don't even know what it is. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
You're going to watch it. You watch the film. You break it all down. You go all 22s. If you watch the broadcast of the game again, you're going to hear it, and it's going to ruin the experience for you.
Well, when I watch the game back, I don't watch the broadcast. I watch the coach's film, but I'll see what happens. I'll see if I can get an answer for you.
Please.
When I go this week, we can talk next Monday about ee-hoo.
All right, thank you very much. All right, Matt Patricia.
Ee-hoo.
They're saying he's going to the Lions.
Detroit. Looks like he's going to Detroit, right? And I don't blame him. I would go to Detroit, too, if I were him. He knows their GM very well over there. They do have a quarterback that still has many good years left. I don't know if he's going to be accepting of the offensive staff there. I would never like that as a coach. If I'm a head coach, I want a clean house, and I want my guys in there. I don't want anybody in there from any other staff that's going to get in my way if I do something a little bit differently than they're used to. So that would be interesting to see. It does not surprise me that neither Patricia nor McDaniels would want to come to New York. And the reason I say that is not that the job is too big for them. I just think that the GM is too big for them. Dave Gettleman, a Boston guy himself, is very hands-on. Seems like he's got this thing, with his hands wrapped all around whoever the coach is going to be. And I just don't see that being Patricia or McDaniels. I see those guys wanting to have a little bit more power and probably a little bit more of a better relationship with the front office.
And you think McDaniels takes a job this offseason?
It seems like, that Indianapolis is the job for him if he wants it. I don't know if he wants it or not. You know, it's interesting. You know, you just never know when the time is going to be the right time. And I would say right now that with the big question marks around Andrew Luck, is it the right time? At least he has Jacoby Brissett there, which would be a bonus because then he could install his offense because Jacoby at least would have been, a part of that offense when he was initially with the Patriots.
All right, well, it looks like we'll be seeing you in a couple weeks.
It does, and I'll see you out there in Minneapolis. Dress warmly, my friend. Look forward to it, and I would imagine we're going to have yet another Patriots Super Bowl. That's the way it should be. What a run these guys are on. It's nothing short of a miracle. You know, when you see Tom play the way he played on Saturday night, and if he doesn't get Patriot Player of the Week this week, then you know Bill Belichick has it out for him.
Well, there is something in the water over there that he just won't give him Patriot of the Week.
Well, maybe he shouldn't give him Patriot of the Week and just keep him on edge and keep him, you know, if that inspires him to play good, then I say don't give it to him and give it to somebody else, you know, because he gets all the accolades. But he played a fantastic game on Saturday night, and I think they're going to be really, really, really tough to beat for Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a good team, but New England is an absolutely great team.
All right. Well, no teasing me about my appearance at the Super Bowl. It's very early in the morning, and I don't think that's fair, and they don't give me makeup like they give you makeup.
Ooh.
All right. Boomer Esiason, and former owner of LeBoom.
Yes.
And we appreciate your time always, sir.
Okay, have a great day, guys. Sorry that we have to work today, but somebody's got to do the talking, right?
Yeah, you know, it's disrespectful that we have to work. But yes, thank you, sir.
All right, sounds good. Have a great week.
You too.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Something very frightening. The good people of Hawaii released a emergency alert that said ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And this went on for about a half an hour. And,
that's horrifying.
Of course it's horrifying. And first of all, the guy who, quote-unquote, made the mistake pushed the wrong button. So exactly what does that mean? That there's... Now, is this...
Well, it just so happens that this goes down in, like, the place, the point of the United States of America that's easiest for North Korea to reach.
Well, right. And I guess they've done warnings before and tested their warning sirens, and I guess that's what what they were trying to do. Now, if I'm in Hawaii and a nuclear weapon's coming, I'm not positive I want to know. Maybe the best thing to do would not to be to tell me.
Yeah.
But you're telling me that there, because when they say the wrong button, it's so user error is so there's one button saying it's a test, and there's one button that says that this is not a test, that this is a go. So you just have some jabroni Gomer Pyle mother effer sitting there at a computer with two buttons. Durr. I don't believe that for a second.
I was reading a story about the sequence of events. Apparently, it was like right after a shift change and a guy sat
down. Is
this
Walmart?
I don't know.
Like, it's a shift change?
Apparently, it was right after a shift change at 8 in the morning.
It's a fairly important job. So,
I know.
So there's a shift change, and the guy's, what, was he tuckered out?
I don't know.
8 o'clock in the morning, he needed to have his coffee?
First thing is, he sat down and clicked yes instead of no, apparently.
Wait, is this Homer Simpson when he got fat and had the machine and just hit the button?
I don't know.
Like, I just like to make a statewide emergency missile warning that says this is not a drill.
All you gotta do is press a button.
Yeah, then all you gotta do is just go, because this is the first time they've, because I guess the intention was to test the sirens, correct? They were just testing them. And apparently this is the first time since the Cold War they've done it, but they wanted to see if they were operational. So you would think that there was some sort of meeting or some sort of supervisor that was around saying, we're testing something for the first time since the Cold War. And then they just have Joey, who came out from, you know, maybe he was a little hungover. Mm-hmm. It was 8 o'clock in the morning and he sat down and pressed the run button. I don't believe that for a second. And the second thing is they say seek immediate shelter. Now, what the hell is that going to do for me?
Delay the inevitable.
Well, I know.
If you're above ground, you're certainly going to die. But if you're below ground, you can wait maybe a few days, come up and
die. I know a girl who lives there, and on Facebook, she's married to someone in the military.
Right.
And she posted on Facebook that they had to go into a basement in the military base. Like, they were all, like, kind of put into a basement, and then they were stuck there for, like, 3 hours. Not knowing what happened.
So a basement protects you against a nuclear bomb?
Like, it was a fallout shelter, I think.
Okay, so that's different. Yeah. That's a fallout shelter. But they just say seek cover. This is like...
If I'm Joe Blow in Honolulu, I don't know what that... Like is going into the basement of my house going to help anything? Probably
I'm guessing
not.
Nuclear destruction.
Probably not.
When a nuclear bomb hits that small-ass island, I'm imagining that there's some collateral damage that being in a basement is going to help you. Like, okay, all these radioactive waves, and they're like, we can't figure out how to get downstairs. Hey, well, thank God I was in the basement. Now what could happen? You know, you still go to Chernobyl, and you use those meters, and it's still crazy radiation in the air. Do you want to know? Like, if there's a
nuclear missile inbound, I want to know.
Because there's nothing you can do. Do you want to know that? Or do you want to go
what
back?
What would you do? Like, say it was, like, would you...
You got 12 minutes. They say they have 12 minutes.
Say it was coming from Boston. Would you, like, get in your car and drive west? That's not going to help.
But 12 minutes?
No, I know it's easy. See,
12
it's,
minutes, see, I get to, like, Framingham.
It's easy for us to all say that. It's easy for all of us to say...
As soon as you got, like, to the Natick Mall, it would just stop.
Yeah. It's easy for all of us to say, sitting here, like...
I'm not getting in my car.
But it's easy to say that as you're sitting here, but, like, if you're sent into that level of panic where, like, oh my God, nuclear weapons coming, like, you might do something stupid like get in your car and start driving west.
And just leave the family at home and just, like, you know, you're right at work.
Wait, guys, everyone into the car. And that blows about 7 minutes. So everyone into the car, because there's always one kid that, like, lags behind.
I wonder if this is an Almost Famous situation. Where you just start confessing things to one another, and then you realize that it was a fraudulent thing.
True,
I don't believe that it was human error. I believe that they got wrong information and decided to
Russians
suppress
behind
that.
Us?
No, I think that I for that to be, I believe it was an error.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that it was one guy coming in from a shift change.
So you think someone believed there was a nuke coming?
Or that,
that's what you're saying.
Or that the system, I don't believe some guy hit the wrong button. Or the system is so, there's two things. One, they received false information and decided to do this. Or two, that the system is complicated enough where they haven't figured out exactly how to operate it because they haven't done it since the Cold War. I mean, for all I know, it's on telegraph. I mean, you know, the
Morse code, like Western Union, like there's like a...
Yeah. I mean, probably a war games computer, you know?
Some post office in Nebraska, right. There's like a telegram coming out of the Western Union.
Or Pony Express or something.
Quick, Fred, get on the walkie-talkie.
But the idea that some guy, I don't buy that for a second.
I mean, if anyone has any good ideas what to do in that situation, do you even want to know? 617-779-0985, because
that's the best part of it is the last five words. This is not a drill.
Yes. It's telling you that a ballistic missile is coming to where you live. And the idea that that is just a button for some jabroni to push, I don't buy for a second. Tom, I'm here to press the button. What have you been doing all this time? Sitting. How long have you had the job? 10 years. I just sit here looking at the buttons.
Yep.
Until so. Hey.
Now I can't get the image of Homer Simpson and a muumuu out of my head.
Yes. Thanks, that's Fred. Exactly what it is.
With the bird, right? Wasn't it like a little bird?
Yeah, it was like one of those birds with the water in it that would peck at the keys.
Right.
Scott, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
The thing is with a nuclear bomb, I'm pretty sure the blast radius is a lot smaller than what we think. So if it hits one of the islands in Hawaii and you're, you know, say an island or two over, you're probably just worried about fallout more than getting vaporized completely.
Wait, so if I hop in my car and drive due west to the Natick Mall, I might be okay then?
I mean, with this kind of traffic, no, but...
you're not going anywhere fast. That's a good point.
I'll drive east at that point.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time believing that if I'm in my house, somehow this is impenetrable to me, even if I'm in another island. It seems like the fallout would cause some problems. Am I incorrect?
Well, that's the whole point of trying to seek shelter and get somewhere that's kind of relatively airtight, because the fallout, you're trying to avoid particulate matter in the air. You know, you don't want to breathe that stuff in.
Yeah, that stuff hangs around, though, baby. That don't go away tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So you're indoors in a pretty, you know, up here when we seal our houses for the winter, they get pretty airtight, but there, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not liking my chances if a bomb goes off. By me. I'm not liking my chances if the nuclear bomb goes off. All right, we can take some of your phone calls. Why not? It's a holiday. We'll take your phone calls about the inevitability of death and what you would do.
This on the heels of the our talk about commercials.
People, yes,
exactly.
Are,
it was a whole weekend.
Fred, you've touched off a firestorm on Twitter, which I know you can't stand, but people are sending me like websites that will actually estimate if a nuclear bomb struck Boston, the blast radius, how many people initially die.
All right, I need to know.
We've contemplated both the slow march to death and then a much quicker death.
And then within a 24-hour period, how many people would be vaporized and then within a 24-hour period?
If you save that, I want to know all this information. Sure. I want to know where I'm at.
All right.
Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I believe they'll be playing the Vikings, and that should be an interesting thing. But this is the kind of news story that cannot be ignored. If you did not hear this over the weekend, I don't know how you didn't. But the good people of Hawaii were sent an emergency alert, and it was on the freeways, it was on the news.
Yep.
And it came, and it said, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And John has found a website that shows you, I guess, in real time, if a nuclear bomb was to hit the city of Boston proper.
Yes, it's called nuclearsecrecy.com. It was sent to me by a listener. And it's kind of interesting, Fred. Apparently, the way the wind is blowing, it's blowing out of the southeast now. So apparently, if you live in Newton and a bomb was to strike Boston right now, you'd be okay, at least initially.
Yeah, it looks like the Merrimack Valley would be in some trouble.
Yeah, if you live in New Hampshire, you go beyond Burlington and Bedford, heading that way would be bad.
Okay, so what they're basically saying is Newton, regardless of anything, would not be touched. There's not a scenario where Newton would be touched.
The initial blast radius would not reach Newton. That's
perhaps the wrong side of Newton would get touched or something.
Right,
but then,
the further eastern portion might get nicked.
Then the right side of Newton would.
They have the list of fatalities. It's kind of scary, actually, looking at this picture.
And they tell you to go to your house, and I don't know what the shelter's supposed to do. I call BS on that. And also, I don't think that I'd want to know. I certainly wouldn't want to know. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? So this weekend, it was my daughter's first birthday, so we had the whole family over. And my brother, he's in the military in Hawaii, like, you know, a good portion of them are. And he's in the intelligence department. So he called right as the entire family it was over. And, you know, said, hey, there's a bomb, and basically giving his final goodbyes over the phone. So it kind of ruins the entire, you know, first birthday. Everybody bawling their eyes out, like thinking this kid's dead, you know?
Yeah, I would imagine the imminent threat of a nuclear strike happening where you live would kind of turn the, you know, turn the smiles into frowns. I would imagine that's the case. Now, how pissed are people over there still?
Oh, I mean, they're wicked pissed. I mean, although that night he was sending out Snapchats of him out at a rave. So it was like the end of the world rave. But I don't know. I mean, I figured because he was in the military, he had, you know, a better idea. But and he was talking like, okay, you know, if this had actually happened, the America has a response where they could, you know, take the missile down. But even still, it was, you know, very, very scary for a half an hour there.
Oh, yeah. It's the most frightening thing probably ever. I don't think that I would want to know about it. Matt, go ahead.
You're talking to me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I think I would want to know, because then you would just be able to say, like, you know, goodbye to your friends, your lover, you know? Like, I get it. We're going to die, so who cares? But wouldn't you want to say goodbye?
Yeah, but, I mean, are you even going to be aware that you didn't say goodbye when it hits?
You're right. If it hits and you survive for like 2 minutes, then you would regret it. If it hits and you're dead instantly, who cares? Go out big, right? Go big.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, once it hits, I mean, you're kind of like, oh, well, that was good. That's not good. This is where we are. I don't know if I want the 15 minutes of or 20 minutes of utter panic.
A guy running down the street on fire, probably a good sign that the end is near.
Yeah, I would not like that. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Bill?
Well, you know, if it was me and I'm sitting out here relaxing and they say a nuclear bomb's heading to Boston, I'm heading right down to package store. I'm going to loot the place for a 30-pack of beer and a fifth of scotch.
And, you wouldn't just pay for it?
I mean,
your
money doesn't really... back and watch the fireworks.
Watch the fireworks. What a beautiful display as I sit there. No, I don't think I'd be paying for anything either, nor do I think many stores would want you to pay. People probably got away with some free stuff.
I think the storekeep might be headed home once the news of the nuclear weapon broke, so you might be able to get in there for free.
I'm wondering if traffic was an issue once everyone thought that death was inevitable.
Where are they going?
No, there were like pictures of the highway with.
Yes, they had signs on the white.
Now the traffic was awful. Maybe that's just normal traffic.
No. I was being sarcastic. Of course, the traffic is awful.
Yeah,
at 8 a.m, everyone's on their way into work. But honestly, you're in Hawaii.
It was a Saturday.
That's true.
Yeah, everyone jumped on the freeway to get where they wanted to go.
Because they showed the signs, like with the, you know, the highway signs, and said, like, where it said this was not correct,
right,
this was a hoax or whatever. And the highway was full of cars.
All right. Robert knows what's going on. Robert, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, so the reason they have you go into shelter is because there's really kind of four different types of radiation that a nuke weapon can put out, depending on the type of nuke weapon. It's called alpha, beta, gamma, and neutron rays. And some will come in contact with white walls of a building and just do nothing more. Some can penetrate through. One type can, if you ingest it through saliva or breathing it in, it could be fatal. So it all kind of really depends. If you guys remember back to 2001, when after these September 11th attacks, they talked about taping your windows in case of a dirty bomb and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a good likelihood that you do survive the initial blast itself. Now, the fireball, given the tonnage or the yield of the weapon, now the North Koreans, they've been tested at about 10 to 15 kilotons, which is about the yield that the Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombs were. So you probably have a fireball in the first probably half mile that would incinerate everything at about 15,000 degrees. But once you moved out from there, you just have to deal with the fallout and the way that the wind blows.
All right, so you're saying that I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not. Maybe you do go to your house.
So it's like a half mile radius then?
He said for fireball.
Right, but I mean, like that's just what will be incinerated.
Yes.
So there'd be. So if you're within a half mile of the blast, then you get incinerated. Otherwise,
then otherwise, it's the fallout.
It's the fallout.
It's the wind blowing. By the way, we talked playoff football for an hour and a, 2.5 hours. And,
no phone calls.
And very few phone calls. And now
that people... We've had five in the last 5 minutes. All right. How about this?
Let's go to...
lots of scientists listening.
Well, listen, that guy seemed to know what was going on.
That, sure that guy was a professor on his way into work.
Fred, go ahead.
Fred, good morning to you, sir. I'm calling to remind you that if you only believed in the religion of sports and the teachings of Alex Guerrero, praise his name, you'll be fine.
That's right. Alex Guerrero, he could give you anti-nuclear bomb juice that you could take and nothing would affect you. All right. We'll get back to talking. Again, the Patriots dominated their game. The only thing that Brady might get roughed up a little bit in the AFC Championship game.
But you also have to remember, with so many writers writing so many different things, and Bert, I don't know if you've probably not been guilty of this, but you've seen it happen many times. When a game looks so one-sided, what happens? You have a squadron of articles writing it the other way. Don't count the Jaguars out. They have a chance. They could put pressure on Brady with four.
You saw it on Twitter. During the Jacksonville... Pittsburgh game yesterday, you saw like when Jacksonville got up 14-0, all of a sudden you saw like, well, what no one really realizes is that the Jaguars are a tougher matchup for the Patriots than the Steelers are.
Fans were all over that. I mean,
even though they gave up
with
during the game.
It was immediate.
Even though they gave up 45 points.
That's right.
And Pittsburgh made a million bad decisions. We can kind of talk about that game and your opinion, Bert, on just how egregious the decisions the Steelers made throughout the course of that game. I think Haley does get fired. I really do. I don't know what happens to coaches, offensive coordinators especially, in playoff games.
McDaniels has been guilty of getting cute at times, but when you have fourth and a foot and you have the best running back in all of football standing 5 yards behind you and you don't hand it to him...
Or you hand it to him on the outside.
In a playoff game, the season on the line, you deserve to get your ass fired.
Forget that. You have a 260-pound quarterback and an all-pro center.
Yeah,
of course you do.
By the way, yes. Roethlisberger threw the coaches under the bus after the game regarding
that.
Yes,
he did.
Which was a shocker, huh?
Yeah, really. Well, he's coming back.
He was wearing the walking boot, too, I think, right? Well, he's wearing that's a go-to for him. When they lose, he puts on the walking boot.
Oh, really?
And then he was actually playing through an injury the whole year.
Well, he's coming back, so that's very rare for him to say it that quickly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich talk to Bob Soucy at 9 o'clock, 617-779-0985. This is an interesting call. John, go ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning. Real quickly, I know I never get to talk to Bert because he's always on and he's got his perspective to say, but... I'm just going to like take the fact that you live in Duxbury like completely out of the fact that, you know, what I'm thinking here. And I grew up not being able to read or write very well, but luckily I played football to get through high school and college. But do you have some type of like speech delay? Because it takes you forever to say a sentence, and I get scared because I don't want you to go through the same way through life that I'm going through. But are you just doing that because you're scared to slip up and say something, the secrets that you have buried in your head? Or are you just like...
Sometimes I do think like have to think through some things when I'm talking about news or whatever, where it's like, okay, like how do I explain what I am trying to say without giving away what I can't give away? So sometimes there are times when I do that. Yes.
Okay. Good. They were talking about the other day on Felger and Mass saying that you take forever to get out of sentence. They were kind of breaking on you a little bit. But I was like,
I didn't even know that they did.
He was in Duxbury, so that's one strike against them. And the other one is like, maybe he's got something wrong with them, guys. Like, let's cool off. And if I can get on them, I'll ask them. But now that we know that you just have all the secrets,
I had no idea that Felger and Maz said that.
Well, how'd you miss it? But that's true, is that Bert has so much inside knowledge in his head, some of which is not for public consumption, that he has to sift through what he can say and what he cannot say.
That does happen sometimes, though, because it's easy when you're like, say you're shooting something that's like 40 seconds of, okay, like this is scripted, this is what I'm going to say, versus like going into a 2-hour pregame show or 4 hours with you guys here. And it's like, there are certain things I can say and certain things I can't.
Tell us something that's on like the line that you don't know if you can say and you can't say it.
Preferably something having to do with the Patriots.
A lot of times it has to do with wording. Like, it's like, how strongly do I say it?
Okay.
You know? And sometimes you know things that you've got to couch as opinion. Sometimes, like, it's just, there's a little, I mean, I'm sure you guys deal with
see,
that.
See, now we have to scrutinize what Bert is saying and how he says it.
See, I'm a professional broadcaster. I have to go through many filters, but it comes out like gold. I never stumble at anything. Bert, so we saw the way the Steelers handled that game. How much of a problem did you have with that onside kick that Tomlin called? And do you get
a huge problem with that?
Okay, and do you get though his explanation of why he did it?
Well,
that
I mean,
he didn't trust his defense
under the bus. Yeah, right. I mean, I generally that would be the explanation you would give in that situation, that you didn't trust your defense enough. I mean, look, they were on the right side of the 2 minute warning. They had two timeouts left. Like, generally in that situation, you know, the Jaguars would run the ball into the line three times because they want you to burn your timeouts. And so if you know that, it's, I mean, like, I know their defense hadn't played well on balance, but if you can get the game, if you can get them in that situation where, and my headphones are all messed up now, if you can get them in that situation where it's like, okay, like, they have to make you burn your timeouts, then you know what's coming. You should be able to stop it three times and force them to punt. I hate when teams are too aggressive on, you know, the wrong, on the right side of the 2 minute warning, where they onside kick too early.
And also, they teams play different, and even veteran teams like the Steelers, you don't think that Roethlisberger checked out of a play on that last fourth down, do you? Do you think that's what Haley called that pass to Schuster? Or do you think that that might be, because that's certainly how Roethlisberger's, surprise, surprise, positioned it in his post game press conference. Do you think that that was a checkoff, like an, that he had made?
I mean, it looked like he made an adjustment.
He did make an adjustment.
I mean, it looked like he made adjustments, and it looked like, I mean, it's always hard to say whether or not he's, you know, setting protection, that sort of thing, versus calling a play, because you don't know. But, I mean, he certainly was barking enough to have changed. It's possible where he changed the play, and we know that they've been down this road before.
Right.
Like, Haley and Roethlisberger had the whole back and forth through the media. What was it, a month ago, maybe?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, there were, I mean, that was after the Patriot game, wasn't it? There's been a couple of those over
the
course
of the
year. Yeah,
well, I mean, the fake spike thing, the whole, yeah. Was I supposed to call a timeout running down the field? Was I not supposed to call
right,
a timeout?
The finger,
what did I hear
there
in my head? What did I hear in my headset? Yeah, they went right at it.
I mean, Ben's just, this is like sort of who Ben is. Like, Ben's always done this. Like, and it's the same thing we were talking about with the walking boot. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, like, I was playing through a high ankle sprain for the last 6 weeks. Just so you guys know, that's why I'm wearing this walking boot here.
Couldn't manage to walk out one more time without just the last game of the season. Couldn't, like, put the walking boot at home and then start wearing it when you got there.
Yeah, you knew as soon as you got to the car, that thing was off.